Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Last week I began to talk about the law of process. The law of process. Do you remember? And I began to explain to us that if we want to achieve anything in life, there is a process to it. Nothing just happens by chance. Things don't happen because we wish them to happen. There is a law. And the law is that there are certain steps that we have to take before we arrive at a certain destination. Hallelujah. Some of us, perhaps our home is Limpopo. Do you sit home and then wish that you're in Limpopo? And then when you open your eyes, you see yourself in Limpopo. Lift up your hand. Let me see. Yeah. There's process, isn't it? You have to either catch transport that will take you to Limpopo, isn't it? Or you, if you have a car, you have to drive your car to Limpopo. And it takes time. I mean, I think it's about 2 hours, 2.5 hours to get to Polokwane. You don't just suddenly appear there. There is process. Now, being a pastor and also having been in the professional world for some time, one of the things that I have noticed that causes a lot of people to suffer, especially those who have the same skin color as us, is that they don't understand this law of process. Many people just want to enjoy life, not working hard and expecting things to go well for them. And in the process of time, instead of them planting and sowing and working on their lives, they are busy enjoying their lives. They are busy doing all sorts of things, but not doing the things that they must do that will bring a certain result. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So, ladies and gentlemen, for as much as God loves us, for as much as God cares for us, in Jeremiah, he said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and not of evil. Plans to bring you to an expected end. This is the mind of God for you. But if you resist process, even though this is his desire for you, those plans will not come to pass in your life. So you have to understand that life is a series of steps. You take a step, you take another step, you take another step, you take another step, and over the process of time, you arrive at your destination. Your destination may be education, your destination may be a good career, your destination may be to raise good children, God-loving children, educated children. You see, there is a process. Tell your neighbor this process. So I don't want to talk too much about it. I explained, kept last week's message. Amen. Today, for a very short time, I want to talk about what I call the attitude of a giver. Someone say the attitude of a giver. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, and we'll be reading from verse 6. The Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he dispersed abroad, he had given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to give you a few points and then we are going to close. Amen. Now, with regards to the attitude, you know, in life, everything is attitude. Someone say, everything is attitude. Everything is about attitude. If you are married, do you understand? And every day you are moody. In the morning when we wake up, now remember, in the morning nobody has done anything to anybody. We are just waking up. Already you are in a bad mood. During the day, you are in a bad mood. In the evening, when you come back, you are in a bad mood. At night, before we sleep, your spouse will say, good night. You say, hmm. Do you think that if you continue that marriage with that type of attitude, that that marriage will last? Hello, I can't hear you. If you don't respond to me, you are exposing yourself. Will that marriage last?
No.
Will that relationship last?
No.
It's all about attitude.
Amen.
Let's say you are working somewhere. You are brilliant in your trade, skillful. There are things that in your company only you can do. But your attitude stinks. It's foul. Nobody can be around you. For as much as you are skillful, they will let you go. True or not true? So everything in life is attitude. Many people fail in life because before they even get into the fight of life, they've already lost in terms of their attitude is bad. I come from a poor family. I don't know, my English is not so good. Already, you are seeing everything why something will not work.
Amen.
And your attitude is already bad.
Amen.
So, God is also interested in your attitude when it comes to giving.
Amen.
He doesn't want people to just give because they feel forced to give.
Amen.
It doesn't touch his heart. It doesn't compel him to do something for you.
Amen.
You see, even if you give God 10 cents, but if your attitude is like, I'm giving my 10 cent to my God, whom I love, who died for me, who came from heaven to earth to die for my sins.
Amen.
Then that 10 cent is bigger than 1 million rand.
Amen.
Because of your attitude.
Amen.
Then a person who's giving 1 million rand, I say, ish, it's Greg. God will not appreciate your giving. So many years ago, things were going really rough for me. Everything was going dear Makar. Oma, dear Makar. Huh. And one day I was praying, asking God, Lord, how should I do things? How should I do things? And you know what the Lord said to me? First, change your attitude. It begins with your attitude. Your attitude must be, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
When I have that attitude, when I wake up in the morning, I wake up for victory.
Yes.
I wake up for success.
Yes.
I wake up for prosperity.
Yes.
And I realized that when I just began to change, even my prayer life, I wasn't saying, oh God, please help me. I was saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, your word says, all things are under my feet. In the name of Jesus, I take dominion over my day. I take over my day. I win in the name of Jesus over every trap of the devil that is set before. I was not crying, oh God, help me. Why are things not working for me? You can already see the difference in prayer.
Amen.
Can I hear some amens in the church?
Amen.
Now the first thing about a giver is that their attitude towards money is that it's not money, it's a seed.
Amen.
In verse 10 it says, to him that ministereth seed to the sower. So whenever God gives you anything, it is a seed. Are you understanding?
Amen.
It's a seed. It's a seed.
Amen.
If you have money in your pocket, if you have money in your wallet, if you have money in your bank account, it's not money, it's a seed. That's how a giver who has a good attitude sees the income that he has or she has. They see seeds.
Amen.
And seeds are not to be eaten. Seeds are to be sown.
Amen.
Seeds are to be planted.
Amen.
Because you know that if you don't sow, you cannot reap. So those who don't have a good attitude, when, you know, Mambrutu was showing me a video and there was some guy who was saying that, I forget now, but he was saying that he eat at them all. He do you remember? What was he saying?
Every little money I get, my enjoyment.
Every little money I get, I enjoy. You see, that's not someone who sees seeds. It's an enjoyment. Hey, touch on me.
Yeah.
I know you won't say amen because my sister, there's a chair here. Matt, please just lift up your hand so that they can see. Hello, Leto, you'll lead her there. Amen.
Amen.
What was I saying? Yeah. You don't think that, what can I do with what God has given me? Where can I sow it? Where can I plant it? That's why many people struggle in life. Because when God has given them something, it's they just want to eat it, finish it. But the giver understands that it's seed.
Amen.
It's seed. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. When God gives you something,
amen,
at least take some of it and plant it.
Amen.
Plant it.
Amen.
Sow it.
Amen.
If you don't sow, you can't reap. No matter how much you can cry to God, oh God, I'm suffering. Oh God, life is difficult. You are not sowing.
Amen.
So sow so that you can reap.
Amen.
Let's read verse 10 again. Now the he here is talking about God. Now he that ministereth seed. In other words, whenever God is giving, he's giving seed. Seed. Now he that ministered seed to the sower. So God expects you to be a sower.
Amen.
Now what does that mean? That means that you are an investor. Some years ago, I was listening to a man of God speaking, and this man of God said that there was a study that was once made. They took two families. And in the one family, the man or the father or the husband decided that every day of my life, I will spend 2 hours with my children. Every day I spend 2 hours with my children. And he will sit, when he goes to work, he will come back and make sure that 2 hours he just chats with them, talks with them, gives them advice. Every day, 2 hours he spends with his children. And then the other one was a drunkard. When he comes back home, he sleeps. When he comes back home, he watches TV. When he comes back home, he's just minding his own business, fighting with his wife. So the study was, we want to see what happens to these children. And they look at generations after the man had long died. Now the one who decided to spend 2 hours with his children every day, some of his children and great-great-grandchildren, some of them became presidents, some of them became ministers, some of them became businessmen and businesswomen. All of them were successful. And I'm talking about generations, long after the guy had died. The one who was a drunkard, his children and his seed, some of them became criminals, some of them became murderers, some of them were poor, they were just struggling in life. Generations after he had died. And you see that one decided that I'm going to invest, sow seeds into my children. And you see that even after he had long died, the seeds he had sown were still producing fruits. Now this one who didn't sow anything, long after he had died, the children were still they were becoming drug addicts. Just we have to sow. So you have to understand, if you don't sow anything, you must see yourself as a sower, because God expects you to be sowing, planting all the time, planting all the time, planting all the time. So in terms of your finances, you must understand that you must sow. In terms of your children, you must understand that you must invest in them. In terms of your relationship, you must sow with your spouse. In terms of you know, when I started working, I realized that, you know, I know very little. So what I did is that I took all my textbooks from school and I put them at work. And what I started doing was that in the morning, before I start my work, I will read some of the things. Because once the work starts, I get too busy, I can't read certain things. So because I knew that I had to invest in myself so that I can be an asset in my workplace. But you find someone who's working, you start work at 8 o'clock. At 8:30, you are walking in. Hey, old guy, show me. Oh, Glenn. So, hey, we can do it, but I am fine. Other people are working. Hey, old guy. Oh, sharp. When you get to your desk, hey, wait, Aksoji. You go make conflicts at work. You'll be surprised. Everything I'm saying is true. You sit down at your desk and you're eating cornflakes or Weet-Bix. By this time it's 9 o'clock, work started at 8. Then you're checking your phone, WhatsApp, Facebook. When you actually get into your work, it's already 10 o'clock. Other people have already worked for 2 hours. You are only starting. Then when they're increasing salaries, hey, your mouth like, hey. You haven't been investing anything. Oh, you don't like my message? Last week I told you that I'm cooking you. I'm cooking you, okay? Sometimes I see, you know, some years ago, my boss called me into her office. And it was the first time she's calling me to her office alone. And so I was just worried, you know, when they call you, like, what have I done now? So I walked in. When I walked in, she said, close the door. I said, oh, Jesus. And then I closed the door and I went and stood next to her desk. She said, sit down. I said, what's going on today? So I sat down and she gave me an envelope and she said, we are very happy with you. You know, my boss, I was related to her. Well, I'm still related to her. And she said to me, I'm so happy with you because we are related. And so you work hard and the people can see your hard work. And people can see that you're not getting any favors. You are working for everything. And she gave me envelope and I said, thank you. And I walked. When I opened the envelope, it was written, your salary has been increased. I said, what? So I calculated and it had been increased by 40%. When I watch TV, I see people, hi, for 6%. Hi, 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 for 6%. Another time I went to my manager. They had increased our salaries. And I said to him, I don't like what I see. You can't go do that if you know you are lazy. You are doing WhatsApp the whole day. I said, I don't like what I see. He said to me, Kola, but you have gotten the biggest increase in the company. So I said, but I'm still not happy. And he said, okay, I'll come back to you. Let me go do some calculations. When you invest in yourself, when you sow, when you work hard, I tell you, you won't struggle in life. You attract blessings when you have the attitude that I'm a sower. You sow into your life. You sow into other people's lives. Amen. This is our year of breaking through. Amen. If you don't break through this year, it's your fault. Nobody else. Amen. It's not even Satan's fault. Amen. It's your fault. Amen. Because you haven't decided to be a sower. You haven't decided that I'm going to invest in my life. Amen. Some of us, you don't even have one book in your house. One book. Let me leave that one. Am I talking to somebody?
Yes.
So, you have to have an attitude of a sower. I don't know how to say this better than what I'm saying today. And please listen to what I'm saying. For as much as God loves you, do you know that God loves you?
Amen.
I mean, who has loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you? It's a phenomenon. It's never been done. It's out of this world.
Amen.
He has proven. Sometimes I would say to God, especially when I was coming up in the Lord, I said, Lord, please tell me you love me. I want to hear you that you love me. And when every time I read the Bible, I realize that he doesn't need to tell me he loves me. He has already proven his love.
Amen.
By sending Jesus to die for me.
Amen.
He loves you dearly.
Amen.
He cares for you dearly.
Amen.
But if you do not become a sower, there's nothing he can do for you. This message that I'm preaching to you, it's his love, it's his mercies, it's his grace being demonstrated right here. All you have to do is take it and go apply it in your life. Apply it in your children. Apply it in your family. Apply it at your workplace, in your career. Apply it at school. You know, Paul went to school for his first week at school this past week. I called him on Sunday, on first day. Do you understand first day? So he's leaving a dress there. On the first day, he's saying, Pastor, there are already people who are grooving here. First day. We have just arrived. And you can see the attitude, the mind. Oh, now we are free from our parents. We are free now. Now we can be us. You see, these people don't have the mind to sow into their lives. I know I've been to university. My class, when I started first year, we were over 70. When we did our fourth year, we were about 30. What happened to the 40? It's people who are groovist. I've got a new word, groovist. Groovist. Ask your neighbor, are you going to be a sower? What are they saying? Yeah. Please sow. Sow into your life. Your children will not be successful by chance. Sow. Spend time with them. That's why at 1 o'clock we have the session for them now. We are sowing.
Amen.
Because we want them to grow up knowing God.
Amen.
My Saturday, I come here, I teach. When I go back, when I sit down, it's already time to bring back my child. I bring her. And then when I go back home, by the time it's already, I have to come back. But I say, it's fine, I will do it. Because I need to sow into my child.
Amen.
Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
So, the first thing you must know is that you must have the attitude of a sower. Amen.
Amen.
Number two. In verse 6, the Bible says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." So, how big your harvest is completely dependent on how much you've sown. If you invest little, you will get little in return. If you invest a lot, you will get what? A lot in return. Is it not in your Bible? I'm not making it up. So, spend a lot of time investing in yourself so that your future can be bright. Spend a lot of time investing in your children so that their future can be bright. And as I told you, where God is concerned and our financial prosperity, you have to sow financially for you to get a financial return. That's how God operates. And so if you sow little, you'll get back little. If you sow much, you'll get back much. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say?
Amen.
He who soweth sparingly. Sparingly means, you know, grudgingly. Agafun. Such a person will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully, it means a lot, will also reap bountifully. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So sometimes, as I said last week, if you truly do self-introspection, if you really look at your life and the decisions you have made, sometimes you can pinpoint that, number one, I didn't have the attitude of a sower.
Amen.
And number two, every time I decided I'm going to sow into my life, I didn't give all of myself.
Amen.
Some of us here, we are so smart. But when you look at your marks, they don't represent how smart you are.
Amen.
Some of us, you know yourself.
Amen.
You know yourself.
Amen.
That you should be doing better than what you are doing. But every time you have the opportunity to sow into your life, you don't give it your all. And because you don't give it your all, when it's time for you to harvest, you don't get what you expect.
Amen.
I'm talking about all areas of life.
Amen.
You know yourself. One day, I went to Home Affairs and I was going to park my car. Then there was a guy who was helping me. And when that guy finished helping me, I was shocked at his English. Such eloquence. And I said, a guy like this, what is he doing? Speaking such good English. At the least, if you don't know what to do, you can go to the Department of Tourism and say, I know Sotho, I know English. All right, I can interpret.
Amen.
At the least. But sometimes, and recently, many years ago when I was in high school, there's a school called CBC. I don't know if you know it, in Silverton. Right? There's a guy there at the robot selling newspapers. I left high school almost 2 decades ago. I used to see that guy selling papers. So recently I drove on the same road to go buy stationery for my daughter. My heart was broken. The same guy at the same robot selling newspaper. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to sow into your life. And when it comes to sowing, you have to give yourself.
Amen.
Because when you give yourself, know that the return will be much.
Amen.
But if you don't give yourself, 5 years into the future, 10 years into the future, 20 years in the future, you'll be crying. That's why my heart cries when I see young people, when they finish matric, they run to work. I cry because I know that the income they will get when they get work with the matric certificate, 10 years later, that income will be a source of tears.
Amen.
And time has gone. Now you are 10 years older, and now only now you are trying to now, you know, do something with your life.
Amen.
Only 2 people are saying amen.
Amen.
Sometimes I wish I can go to certain parents and slap them and hit them with kung fu. How can you allow the child with matric to go work? Push your child to go to university. Do something. Acquire a skill.
Amen.
So that when they finish, when they get a salary, you know, when you have acquired a skill, your first salary is not your last salary. It will grow. It will increase. But if you only have matric, and our government at some point, they were saying that at grade 9, they're going to start giving certificates. I mean, after when you finish grade 9, you can go look for work. Oh, they are destroying our children. They are killing our children.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Amen.
Those of us who are at school now, give it your all.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Give it your all. Those of us who are working now, don't be satisfied. Keep investing even while you are working.
Amen.
Invest in yourself.
Amen.
Read.
Amen.
Read.
Amen.
There was one lady who used to come to my church, and every time I preach like that, her job is she's a domestic worker. So every time I preach like this, she will go to her workplace. She works for a white guy. And the white guy will see her reading. I will be surprised that my domestic worker is reading. So the guy now started investing on her. I saw him teaching her how to drive. You, they are not teaching you how to drive because you are coming here to work, but you are sitting, you are watching TV. You are watching TV. When it's time to iron, it takes you 5 hours to iron one shirt. No one's going to invest in you. I see you don't like what I'm preaching. Am I talking to somebody?
Yeah.
Somebody once said, when you point a finger at someone, 3 fingers are looking at you. Do you understand?
Yeah.
When you point a finger at someone, 3 are looking at you. You must look at yourself.
Amen.
The only person to blame is yourself.
Amen.
There's nobody else to blame but yourself. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
I'm preaching about tithe, but I feel like I'm giving a lot of wisdom. What number are we on? Number 3. Okay, let's read verse 6 again. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now listen to verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. In the New Living Translation, verse 7 reads as follows. It says, you must each decide. Tell your neighbor, say decide.
Decide.
It says you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Now, when we come back to giving, more specifically in the house of God, God says that it must be your own choice.
Amen.
You must decide. God doesn't want someone who gives out of pressure.
Amen.
As I'm preaching now, you sometimes may feel pressure to give. If you feel pressure, don't give. God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, someone who gives willingly out of the heart. The offering, the tithe is from their heart.
Amen.
You know, when we started seeing a blessing in our home, my wife and I, earlier last year, we took a decision that we are going to start sowing, start giving. All right? We pay our tithes and we had decided that we are going to sow into people's lives. And I told my wife, I said, this time around, let's do it differently. Let's just do it joyfully. Because we want to. Because we love to.
Amen.
You see, when you give like that, you never feel oppressed that you are giving.
Amen.
So when you are giving someone something, or you are giving to the Lord, it is your heart ministering to God.
Amen.
God is not interested in your giving that is under pressure.
Amen.
You are under pressure to give.
Amen.
You know, some people, you know, if you have some status in life and you come to church, you kind of feel that, ish, when they look at me, they're going to look at me like, why is he not giving? Why is she not giving? Look, no one's looking at anybody. If you want to give, give. If you don't want to give, don't give. Because if you are trying to fool us, we will be fooled. But the real person is looking at your heart. So, a giver's attitude is that I want to. It's my own decision. I love my God. I want to support his work. I want to see souls being won. I want to see lives being changed. I want to see lives being transformed.
Amen.
Out of the willingness of their heart. Come with me to the book of Exodus 25, verse 1. Exodus 25 and verse 1. The book of Exodus is the second book in the Bible after Genesis. Exodus 25, and we'll be reading from verse 1. I love to see people holding Bibles. Put your hands together for yourselves. It's very, very powerful. Hallelujah. Have you found it? Exodus 25, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Can you see it's the Lord speaking? What did God say in verse 2? He says, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly. With his heart ye shall take my offering. I mean, this is hundreds of years ago. He's still saying the same thing. He says, the one who gives it willingly. Who's giving it from his heart? Amen. You see that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. He's still interested with the heart, the attitude with which we are giving. Amen. You are not giving out of pressure. You are not giving because you are forced. You are not giving because your heart is, I love my God. Amen. You see, let me find a scripture quickly. Come with me to the book of Matthew. Chapter 2, verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, from verse 1. Are we there? The Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. They are come to what? To worship him. Make a note that they are coming to worship. Verse 3. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And when they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Egypt, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Hallelujah. So these guys, they said that they are looking for a child who was born king of the Jews, which is Jesus, for they want to worship him. When they came there, what they did is they started giving him gifts, offerings. So in the spirit to God, finance is also a form of worship. Amen. That's why he's so interested in the heart with which you give. Amen. Because when you give to him, it's a sacrifice of worship. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when you give, you are worshiping him. When you give, you are blessing him. Nobody would ever be happy as you are worshiping him and say, hey, Marawit, Marao, he can't be blessed. Amen. Your heart must be the one crying out, saying, Lord, I love you. There's nobody like you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Let your giving be a form of worship. That's the attitude of a giver. It's the attitude of a giver. And also a giver knows that everything I have anyways, I got from him. That's why Job said, naked I came into this world and naked I will go. When I came, I had nothing. In other words, everything I have, I've been given. So what a blessing when you come back to your creator and say thank you and say I love you. And say, there's nobody like you. So God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. He loves it. All right? And you'll note that God said to Moses, go tell my people to give me an offering. So me as a man of God, it's my responsibility to say it's offering time. Amen. But for the fact that it's offering time, it doesn't mean that you must give. Moses, God said to Moses, and he who will give willingly from his heart, then that person, you will take my offering from that person. Amen. Those are the offerings I'm interested in. Amen. Am I talking to somebody? Yes. Is your attitude changing? Yes. Is your attitude improving?
Yes. Yeah.
So you have to give it willingly. Amen. Never be pressured to give. Ever. Ever.
Amen.
All right? It must be your own decision.
Amen.
Your own decision. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Number, what number we're on? Number four. A giver loves to be inspired by God. A giver loves to be inspired by God. Hallelujah. In the same Exodus 25, you see that giving there, it was inspired by God. God is the one who said, Moses, tell my people. Do you understand? Now, whenever you give, more specifically and especially under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that releases tremendous power.
Amen.
You know, there's giving that we give where we know that we are sowing. We are sowing. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, he says, he encourages us, keep sowing. Keep sowing. Because of the seeds you are sowing, you don't know which one of those will produce fruits. So keep sowing. In the same book of Ecclesiastes, he tells us that, you see, when we are sowing, it's like we are filling our cloud of blessing with water. And when it is full, then the rains of blessings will come upon us. So there's that attitude where we know we are investing, we keep sowing. But every now and then, God will just out of the blue give you inspiration and say, I want you to give this much. I want you to give to this person. Now, when God does that, you must do backflips because you know he's about to do great things in your life.
Amen.
He never just inspires for Mahala. When you hear his voice instructing you or inspiring you to give, then you know something is about to happen.
Amen.
Some years ago, one of my best friends, this friend of mine is from Lesotho, so he had come to study in Pretoria through a bursary. So one particular time, around November, when he finished writing his exams, he was planning to go home. And the Lord said to him, if you go home, you will die. Don't go home this December. So he decided to be around. Now, unknown to me, this friend of mine was suffering because he had run out of money. And one particular day, I just felt like visiting him. And I had some pack of bananas in my room. So I took my bananas. I don't know why. I just took my bananas and went with him. And said, my friend, I'm here. Let's chop some bananas. And we started eating some bananas. Years later, he said, my friend, I'll never forget the day you came with bananas. Amen. He said, if only you knew how hungry I was. I will never forget those bananas. Amen. And I was so grateful that because I never go to him with anything. I just go and sit with him and we just talk. But that day I felt like going with bananas. You see, whenever you feel inspired by the Spirit, something powerful is about to happen. Amen. Something powerful is about to happen. Now in the book of Genesis 26, there was a famine in the land. And everybody was preparing to move and to go to Egypt. Because that time, their way of living was farming. So Isaac was preparing to leave and God said, don't leave, stay in the land. Now that's a very strange instruction. But you see, when God inspires you, something is about to happen. Something is about to break when God inspires you. So he stayed in the land. And he had the mind of a sower. He knew that if I don't sow, I don't reap. So he decided to sow in the land that is dry. It hadn't rained for a long time. Now, as everyone was getting poorer in the land and people were leaving the land, he sowed in a dry land. And the Bible says that he received a 100-fold harvest. Do you know what a 100-fold harvest? It means every seed that was sown, it produced a tree and produced fruits. Every seed. That's a miracle on its own. He received such an harvest that he became greater than the king of the land. To the point that the king of the land went to visit him and said, let's make an agreement that you will never come and harm me. The king, listen to the king talking. Because the guy had become so great. When you hear the voice of God and he is inspiring you to sow, it's time to celebrate. You don't even need to wait for the harvest. Know that something big is about to happen. Am I talking to somebody? So always be sensitive to the voice of God. And when he gives you instruction, be ready to obey. Because God obeys the laws of process. Amen. When he wants to bless you, he will not just bless you. You have to sow. So when he instructs you to sow, know that he's about ready to release a mighty harvest in your life. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. Put your hands together for Jesus. And that's what I saw happening to us. I was there listening to a man of God and he said, God told him that prosperity doesn't come by prayer, it doesn't come by fasting, but it comes by sowing and reaping. He said, that's my covenant with human beings. I said in the book of Genesis, for as much as the earth remaineth, there will be seed time, there will be harvest time. Oh, I understood. It was like a revelation to me. I had been hearing it a lot, but for the first time, it's like a light went off in my mind. Amen. And I said to my wife, it's time to sow, sister. It's time to sow. And that's when we started seeing God, the hand of God move supernaturally, to the point that we said to ourselves, this is God. It can't be anything else but God. Are you listening to me? Because a lot of church people, you see, when we preach, I say, in the name of Jesus, I see you moving forward. I see you being blessed. Shout yes. Then they shout yes. They love those ones. But now when we come and say it's offering time, it's like they say, nya, 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 but I'm not going to listen to this part. The time that my boss gave me an increase, a man of God had come that season, and he instructed us to sow. So as I was there, I said, God, how much do you want me to sow? And immediately I received a number in my mind. And at that time, the salary I was receiving, it took a lot of faith for me to sow that money. Do you understand? But I said, I will obey. And I went, put it in an envelope, and I sowed. And that time, I sowed for everyone. I put an envelope for my mother. I put an envelope for my father. I put an envelope for my brothers and my sister. I put an envelope for everyone. And I prayed over it, and I said, God, I'm sowing. Within a week, someone say 1 week. Within a week, that's when my boss called me to her office. You see, when you receive inspiration from God, know that something great is about to happen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah. So spend time with him. Spend time with him. Get to learn his voice so that when he inspires you, you won't miss it. Tell him, never say, you won't miss it. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus and give him praise. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you, when it comes to sowing, when it comes to giving, when it comes to tithing, when it comes to offerings, your attitude is everything. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Please never ever be pressured or forced to give anything. God doesn't want your forced offerings anyway. Let it be from your heart. And every time you give, know that it is a form of worship. You are blessing your God. You are thanking him. You are loving him. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet and put your hands one more time for the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that the reason I'm preaching this is because God wants to do something great in your life. God is about to bless somebody in this family of Healing Fire Ministries. Amen. As you begin to understand and apply the principles of tithing. For a few minutes, I want you to pray for yourself. Ask God to give you grace. Ask forgiveness for every time where you gave grudgingly and you felt forced. And ask God that, Lord, please work in my heart that every time I give to you, I'm doing it from a heart that loves you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Open your mouth and talk to your God. Talk to him, somebody. Talk to him. Oh, Jesus. Help me to understand that I'm a sower. I'm a sower. Help me to sow to the kingdom of God. Help me to sow towards the work of God. Help me to sow in the lives of my children. Help me to sow, be a sower in this community. Help me to invest in myself, to invest in my life. Please, Lord, help me. Open your mouth. Pray, 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 pray. Mantere anderebo shantarabasyo leka palabasotea leka paramante kados rekateri andere razi anderebo shianda kabala rakabala batokorobo shianda. I want to be a cheerful giver. I want to give you because I love you. In the mighty name of Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me. Help me, Father. Help me. Maka paraboshi anderebosia repakorobosi andalabasa. Speak to me, Lord. Let my heart hear your voice so that I can do things out of the inspiration, because I am inspired by the Spirit of God. Pray, pray, talk to him. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.